From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Voters in South Korea are choosing a replacement to former President Park Geun-hye, caught up in a corruption scandal that resulted in her impeachment and removal from office. Turnout could exceed 80%. Official misconduct, slowing growth, and relations with North Korea top voter concerns. Frontrunner, Democratic Party of Korea candidate Moon Jae-in said he felt a great desire among people to build a country we can be proud of. He was expected to win with pre-election surveys showing him 20 points ahead of his rivals. The human rights lawyer promised to tackle official corruption, increase spending to create jobs, and seek more engagement with North Korea. Stephen Norper is senior director of the Korea Society and Columbia University professor.
Moon Jae-in has talked about something like a Sunshine 2, meaning an opening akin to the individual whom he worked for, Roh Moo-hyun, and his predecessor, Kim Dae-jung, meaning the opening to North Korea, incentives in terms of economic incentives and trying to find a way to deal with the North that is more pro-engagement.
The candidate who wins expected to be sworn in Wednesday. Nigeria has released the names of more than 80 schoolgirls freed in negotiations with the militant group Boko Haram after 3 years in captivity. Meanwhile, Laura Boldrini, president of Italy's Chamber of Deputies, met Monday with members of the Bring Back Our Girls campaign in Abuja.
You played a major role in the liberation of the girls, because you didn't give up every day for each day you were here to say, release our girls.
The girls, among more than 200 abducted in April 2014, were freed in exchange for several detained Boko Haram commanders. This is VOA News. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is to meet his Russian counterpart Sergei Lavrov in Washington Wednesday to discuss Ukraine and Syria, among other issues. The meeting comes as Moscow pushes for creation of four so-called de-escalation zones along with Turkey and Iran to ease 6 years of conflict in Syria. Middle East Institute scholar Zubair Iqbal is skeptical.
The creation of the de-escalation zones may lead to some pacification, but I don't see it having a definitive effect for the simple reason that people who are being affected are not being represented.
He said the opposition has not been involved. He also questions what role the U.S. will play. Monday, Syria's foreign minister said no foreign forces would be allowed to monitor the de-escalation agreement. White House spokesman Sean Spicer was asked if the latest American detained in North Korea is part of heightened tensions with Pyongyang over its ban and missile program.
Obviously, this is concerning. We're well aware of it, and we're going to work through the Embassy of Sweden that has a facility in North Korea, or an embassy in North Korea, through our State Department to seek the release of the individuals there, but I would refer you to the State Department on that.
Kim Hak-sung, who was on the staff of the private Pyongyang University of Science and Technology, was detained Saturday for alleged hostile acts. His arrest brings to four the number of U.S. citizens detained in North Korea. At least six people were killed Monday after a suicide bomber rammed a car laden with explosives into a cafe in the capital Mogadishu. It was an attack claimed by the insurgent group al-Shabaab. Others were wounded. More anti-government protests rocked Venezuelan cities Monday, and police responded with tear gas. Weeks of unrest over the country's worsened social and economic conditions has left nearly 40 dead. The opposition has demanded socialist President Nicolas Maduro leave office and new elections held. Forces loyal to Libya's Eastern Administration Monday pushed into two more districts of the embattled city of Benghazi. Elements of the Libyan National Army have been fighting for control of the country's second biggest city for 3 years against an array of jihadist militia. At least six LNA soldiers were reportedly killed. The Trump administration defended its temporary travel ban in federal court Monday. That ban targeting travelers from six mostly Muslim countries. Acting Solicitor General Jeffrey Wall insisted it is not a Muslim ban. Both the original ban, issued shortly after President Donald Trump's inauguration in January, and a revised ban designed to overcome legal challenges, have been held up in court following challenges that they are unconstitutional. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.